are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Assistant Tiki, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yes, sister. So today we are looking at God's girl. Is she safe online? Is she safe online? Navigating the online world can feel a bit like wandering through a digital jungle, full of exciting discoveries, but also potential pitfalls. With social media, online gaming, and endless information at our fingertips, how can girls ensure that they are not only safe, but savvy in this vast digital landscape? So, Sister Ntsiki, before we kickstart our conversation, can we open with the word of prayer?
Sure.
Yes.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you at this time. We ask for your presence and for your wisdom as we talk about these issues that are contemporary, that matter to our lives, that impact our lives as children of God, as people in this world, especially as those who profess to be waiting for your son coming. Be with us and guide us and give us understanding. Just in our prayer. Amen.
Amen and amen, sister. Thank you so much for the prayer. Yeah, right now, we've seen a lot of things happening on social media. People are not safe, not only girls, but today we are focusing on girls. So what are some common online risks that girls face, and how can they be mitigated?
Thank you for that question. I actually wanted to go back to just a little bit on your intro about how we need to be savvy. And I'll connect that with the risks. And I believe that the first thing that one needs to do on their way to savviness or any such thing is to gain understanding and awareness. Awareness is important because before you delve into anything, you must ask yourself basic questions, especially if you see something as a way of life. Where did this thing come from? That's the first question. Where did social media come from? What did the creators want to achieve? Who benefits from social media? What do they benefit? How do people make money from social media? How might social media make the world a better place? How might social media harm society? So you kind of do a balancing thing. Does it make it better? Does it harm society? How might social media affect my relationship with friends, with parents, if you're in a serious relationship with that partner, if you're married with your husband or wife? Is social media a social experiment? That's the best place to start. Why are you asking yourself this question? To gain awareness and understanding, because maybe for people who are maybe 10 years and younger, this may not be relevant in the future to ask. But everybody else needs to ask themselves, how did people connect before social media and technology and online presence, before that? How did we connect? And what changed? So some things like, what were the positives? What were the negatives? People used to connect by letters, for instance. Telephone, a regular telephone, you had a phone at home. People used to visit one another. That was the main one. And in so doing, it fostered relationships. It fostered patience. And it allowed people time and space to think about things before they react. So you would hear something in a letter. By the time you write back, you'd have processed what you've heard. You'd have thought about it. And you would write something around it. It's different now. Now, you hear something in a second, you react. You actually don't respond. You become instantaneously. You give a response. There's a bit of impatience now with social media because it's helping us create an insatiable appetite for news, especially other people's business. So the place to start before we actually delve into the actual risks of it is to gain understanding and awareness. I thought that I just needed to say that before I then address the issue of risk. And I know that many people and many parents, not even parents, teachers, even the young girls themselves, they are seeing that something strange is happening, but it's almost as if we are all hamstrung. We don't know what to do with it. So these things are at different levels. The risks, for instance, if you don't mind, I can go to that question now.
Right.
Yeah, the risks, one of the biggest risks that has been identified is the ability of social media to propagate fake news. And fake news comes in the form of, so what we used to call rumors, it's now grown exponentially.
Mm.
It's taken a life of its own. It's not just a harmless rumor.
Mm.
Social media makes a rumor real.
True.
Mm. Why? Yeah, because it is written. Remember, the way the brain functions, when you go to school and you read the written word, it's fact. That's how we are taught, by reading.
Mm.
When you go to church and you learn about God, we don't just take it from the mouth. We read, this is what, thus says the Lord. You read. So the mind has been conditioned to take the written word as fact.
Mm.
Unless the book says maybe this is fiction and you know before going in. Other than that, it is fact because it is written. So social media, when somebody... Whereas before, someone can just whisper something in your ear. The effect is different. When you see it written down, whether on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, for those who use Facebook, or wherever, or online, on a website, anywhere, immediately your brain regards the possibility that this may be factual. But it's just a rumor. It's just rumor mongering. So that's one of the first things around how social media has changed and is given risk. Because once you take a rumor and make it fact, chances are it then sticks in your mind as a fact and you act based on what you believe is fact. Then fake news or social media can be used to propagate deliberate misinformation. So this, of course, in the realm of politics, you know how when people are campaigning for politics, they can throw this, that, and there to deliver, to, or even in business espionage, if you want to harm a competitor who's selling a product, all you need to do is to say, this product is unsafe, this product is not right, and you put it out there. You propagate deliberate misinformation, right? So you see a personality. Like you are interviewing me now, I can now, after this, go online and just say that a person who works for the Adventist World Radio who is interviewing me is completely bad and just completely malign you and say whatever. Because I was talking to you.
Right.
And maybe I didn't like it. People take me as an authority in the knowledge of you.
Eesh.
And I can go, I can propagate deliberate misinformation. Then, of course, the other risk is clickbait. You know, clickbait is where you have a catchy headline and the headline has nothing to do. You click on it, you find that the content is going west, but the headline was promising you to go south. They are not related at all. It's called clickbaiting, and it is used, again, to misinform so that people can, afterwards, what do the clickbaiters gain by it? They can go back, if they're looking for funding, money, we can go back to the funder or potential sponsors and say, I have had a million views. Now, just by clicking, the algorithm will then identify you as a view. And therefore, the conclusion becomes you viewed because you were interested. But you can't be further from the truth. You were misled to thinking that this heading or this topic is what you wanted to read. Only to click on it, they're talking about the healthiest food to eat in 2024.
Eesh.
And then when you click on it, you find they're talking about something totally different. They're advertising a resort that has just been built way, or some holiday, or they're advertising some competition, and you quickly close. But the algorithm would have recorded you as a viewer. So it's easy then to come, I dupe you, you are the person with the money or the sponsor. I say to you, this has had 1 million views. The interest in this is so big. Please, fund me. And if I'm not savvy enough with my little 10 rand that I have, I'm going to invest it in you, in a gimmick that was used by using clickbait to unsuspecting social media users or just online. Because, I mean, you can do it online as well. Then there is, there are things that are used in social media, like, which are not so bad, but it's satire. And satire, you know, satire is kind of a news comedy, which has got an aspect of truth, but it can be twisted for entertainment purposes.
Right.
It's twisted for, just to have that kind of entertainment value so that people, and what it does is it attracts people to your site and they listen to it. And once you have enough of a following, you can use satire again to propagate what is not true. But just as there are sins in the Bible where Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19 talks about the seven things that the Lord detests and does not like, social media also has got the risk of leading us to certain sins, if you like, in quotation marks, or to certain, the risk of developing certain attributes. For instance, you can be so angry over people you don't know, over people you don't know. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know their story. You don't know anything. Let's just take this lady. The case about her, then she had to drop out and all of that. It's news, but when you read the threads, the anger of the people who don't know anything about, people are so angry.
Eish.
And you ask yourself, okay, all right, let's leave that alone. Then somebody comes tomorrow, Operation Dudula. This is what is happening.
Eish.
Again, it raises your blood stream. Then it goes, Pastor Mboro, this is what he was doing with a machete. It raises your bloodstream. It's out there in the public. That's why I'm just giving examples.
Yes.
I don't know these people from a loaf of bread. They're so far from me, but they can toy with my emotions just because on social media, that's where the concentration of the news is. So I have to guard the avenues of my heart and make sure that I'm not a perpetually angry person, because it is shaping the way I see things. Suddenly, everyone I see is now a Mboro or a Chidima or a target of Operation Kidula. But that's not how God wants us to be. Then, the other one is envy. I was perfectly fine driving my Golf, City Golf, until I saw my friend, my former classmate, driving a Vurpa, which I didn't actually see. I saw on social media being advertised. Then I saw a number of people showing what they've accumulated. Then it was the people now not just driving, they're going on holiday every 3 months, not just here in Durban or Cape Town. People are now going to exotic places. Then I see, suddenly I have this feeling of I'm left behind in life. I have this feeling of I'm not doing so well in life. I start envying what other people have because my eyes have led me to that. I don't even stop to think, hey, Atobana, they've gone and they've cut and pasted pictures of websites and internet, put it on their personal pages to seem like it is them. No. It just then developed this envy in me. I'm less grateful for what God has given me because I'm constantly, on a daily basis, comparing myself to other people.
Thank you so much, Sister Ntig.
I just thought maybe the last one that I can add, there's quite a number, but I think immodesty. Immodesty is very high. Suddenly, we all just want to show off our body, our face, our looks, on social media, forgetting that we are called and we are set apart for a reason. If we are going to show our body, if we are going to show our looks and everything, it has to be for a reason, but not in any modest way where we are almost semi-naked. You see, and this is propagating. This is what, when you're a younger girl, how you look matters so much, so much. It matters even when you're an older lady, but when you're younger, much, much more. So the feelings of insecurity, the feelings of not feeling adequate enough, the feelings of then that leading to anxieties and depression, it becomes an all-consuming phenomenon in your life simply because you are living in a world on your phone where immodesty is so hyped up and you want to be one of those people. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Sister Ntiki. But because of time, we would like to summarize some of the questions. We still have four more questions to go. But I've seen that on Facebook, there's an option for you to lock your profile. This is for our next question. I've seen that there's an option for you to lock your profile, and the only people who are able to see your profile are your friends. You understand? Those are who are your friends. And how can girls effectively manage their online presence and privacy settings on social media platforms?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that privacy online is a myth. It doesn't exist.
True.
Because, there's somebody who's operating that system somewhere who does not know you, first of all. So it is a myth. But having said that, you know, you get guidelines about the development of your passwords. So your passwords shouldn't be things that are obvious, like your birthday, for instance. Shouldn't be names of a pet or your favorite people. Shouldn't be things that people can guess easily. So you get kind of like the guidance that we get with passwords is, you know, use, first of all, let it be long, a long password, and then let it be something that is a mix of characters.
Right.
So it's not just words. You can use numbers in combination with consonants, like words or something, and then use a few kind of like characters, asterisks, and these characters that are symbols. That's the word I'm looking for, a use of symbols.
Right.
That guarantees you, a kind of unbreakable password. But also, don't leave a password on for too long.
Okay.
Be in the habit of changing it a little bit. Just don't forget it.
But, I wanted to say that because most of the time when I change my passwords, I tend to forget them. And it's hard to even press the thing of saying forgot password. Because now I'm like, my, what have I done?
Yeah. And also, now there's a proliferation of platforms and social networks and stuff. Use for the ones that you go for the ones that promise end-to-end encryption. I'm saying all of this with a pinch of salt, like tongue in cheek, because I don't believe there's anything such as privacy on the internet.
Okay.
But if they promise end-to-end encryption, it means therefore that it is encrypted. And encryption simply means that there's a file that is locked that has got your data and information.
Okay.
And this file is kept separately from what they call the key. A key that can unlock that file is also given separately. So the person who holds the key is not the same person who holds the file. That's what encryption means. That's that they will not be able to break it. But hackers are in the business of trying to find out. So if I have my file sitting, for instance, in Ireland, that's where my data is sitting. The key, for instance, if especially things that are stored on the cloud, the key can then be in Tanzania somewhere.
Sure.
I'm just giving an example.
Right.
In a facility there and in a provider, service provider there. so that to hack into my file will not be very easy. That's the theory around it. Whether it's reality, well, that's for you to do your research. The number of scandals that have come out with people that have gone in and hacked people's files and data and information and led to many scandals. I mean, there's a story every year of a big scandal like that.
Mm.
So that's why I say we can be as careful as we want, but at the end, there's no privacy on social media. Mm. In any case, make sure that the things that you store and you share are things that when they get out there, they don't embarrass you.
Right.
They don't embarrass you. They don't defame the name of God. At least they can still remain private because they're your business. But if it so happens that you are hacked or somebody breaches that, it can be very clear that, no, this one's information was clean. This is an anomaly. It means that somebody came and planted an untruth or planted unreal photos. And you can prove that because generally the things that you have on your private space are things that are pure and good.
Right.
I
think you have already answered my follow-up question, because the next question is, what steps can be taken to create strong, secure passwords and protect personal information? Wow. Okay.
I think we've touched on that already.
All right. The next one, how can we educate girls about recognizing and avoiding online scams? Is it phishing or whatever, and cyberbullying?
Yeah,
but hey, now this one is, I'm interested on this one. How can we avoid online scams, especially? I'm interested on online scams.
You're interested on online scams.
Yes.
Because
people are being scammed. A lot of people are being scammed. Mm. We are told you can buy this hair for this amount, and then you send money to this account. At the end of the day, you don't receive your your item. You understand?
So you've heard the saying, if it is too good to be true, then it really is too good to be true. Avoid it. So your online scams kind of manifest as, the favorite one is the lottery. You've won a lottery or a free gift.
Eish.
And they ask you to claim a card. Don't click. The rule in IT is, don't click on links that you don't know that come from. Like, even on your phone, I can just receive a random SMS telling me, congratulations, you won a loan of $350,000. That time I need that money. And then it will say, just click here to claim your money.
Mm.
First of all, did I even apply for me to win such money? Why would I win such? Who's this? Where did they get my number? So it's really important to pause and ask yourself some of these very basic questions. If it is for free and it is online, it is a scam. It is not true. There's also catfishing, where somebody can come pretending to be what they are not. It is like someone can use it. It's a fake identity,
right,
that someone can use to create online. They've studied you, or they've heard about you, or they're just guessing based on, oh, young girls this age like this.
Eesh.
And they pose and they talk nicely to you, guess having guessed what you would like to hear. Then they become friendly with you, only for them to scam you. A number of people who are dying to get married have been scammed in this way. Online relationships. And once an online relationship starts asking you for money, just know it is not true. It is not real, because that is the final object of it. At the end of the day, the idea is to defraud you, right? So they will defraud you of your money. And this one, maybe not so much a target for young girls, but for middle-aged women and who like using dating sites. But for young girls, catfishing can be used for trafficking. So, yeah, we heard how, especially now where jobs are so scarce, you will get a catfishing agency promising you such and such. There's a scholarship abroad. Please apply. There's a bursary or that job for people who've graduated. And in this jobless South Africa, they can now apply and go abroad. And you do that and everything checks out. You even talk to somebody on the phone. But unfortunately, they don't have good intentions. They have evil intentions.
Yeesh.
Once you've signed off, you've said bye-bye to your family. The family sees you off. There you are going into a bus. There you are going on a plane. There you are going on a ship. That's the end of you. You're going to end up somewhere in a port in Libya. You're being trafficked to be used as a sex slave somewhere in Eastern Europe. So that catfishing is very important. Check out things. It's not easy, I know, but check out the things and make sure that you're not being catfished. The other one is the cancellation of a phishing one. You talked about phishing. It's pronounced phishing, but it's written phishing. It has become common. They'll just say your account has been cancelled, and then they request you to send your account information so that they can verify it for you.
Eish.
And they will they'll provide a link and say, please log on to this link. And then provide that. Once they get your account information, you'll be very broke very soon. Yeah. A friend of mine actually lost about 14,000 rand.
Ooh, imagine.
And it was being taken somewhere in America. No. Gaming is a big thing online. The key rule really is don't click on links. Don't open attachments. Don't open attachments you don't know. Don't click on links. But they're now very, very clever because there's this one where they send, I'll see a WhatsApp from you. You're my friend.
Okay.
And I'll be saying, you'll be saying, hey, Nsiki, hi, I'm really broke. I'm in trouble.
Okay.
Please send me money. Because it's you, I will then send you money. In the meanwhile, somebody has hacked your WhatsApp. So what needs to happen at that time is when you see that message, call me.
Sure.
Call me. If I don't pick up, then you know it's not me.
Mm.
Yeah, you need to call me and verify for yourself. Is this you? I've got this message. Then you will hear what I'm that this is me indeed, then we can talk about it. Otherwise, we then get these messages. And by the time you wake up when 50 people have been asked for money on your contact list. Because once they reach your thing, they see your contact list, they send the message. Out of those 58, have already wired money.
This is a trigger for me because I have experienced something like that. I'm not sure if it's last year, but something happened. Someone hacked my WhatsApp. That person was asking for money. He even went to my boss.
Hi.
Imagine. I was so embarrassed. Yeah. I was so embarrassed. But before we wrap up our conversation, there's a comment from our listener saying, greetings. I believe that even on these things, the Holy Spirit helps us. There's a voice that tells you to be wary of this link or this opportunity, etc. We need to listen to it. Wow.
We do. And the listener is so right. I was going to wrap up with that to say, you know, this thing of pray about everything, pray all the time is so real.
Eesh.
Because the Lord will tell you. When the Bible says the angel of darkness or the devil disguises himself as an angel of light, it means exactly that he can hide. He can, especially this catfishing one. There was one where somebody was sending us a link. Woolworths was saying we will win groceries of about 3,000 rand. And you're thinking, what? Now, because it's from a trusted source, you think it is trustworthy.
Eish.
But when you stop and think and pray about it, you realize that since when? The Zulus just give money, nje, for what? And you see also the look of it, stars, red stars and balloons. It just looks over the top. It is meant to lure you, yeah. So she's right. Praying the Holy Spirit can guide you. But there are times when, even when the Holy Spirit guides, because the Spirit doesn't force you.
True.
And your own will and inclination, your voice can be so loud. I want, I want, I want.
Eish.
You then silence the Spirit and you just move without wisdom.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And last one before we wrap up, sister. What are the signs of cyberbullying, and how can someone support a friend who may be experiencing it?
Oh, cyberbullying is such a terrible one. It is very common, and besides the signs of cyberbullying, first of all, it depends on the age you are at in life or where you are. But I think as a principle, we can just apply. First of all, if somebody is intrusively getting into your social media pages and harassing you, wanting your attention, talking to you in demeaning ways or in ways that you do not like, that person is cyberbullying you.
Mm.
And that can start off as somebody who was a friend whose contact they gave you, or you gave them your contact, thinking that this is a friend, only for them to change and become something else over time. So anything is just like regular talking. Somebody who has access to you without your permission online, and then who uses demeaning language or who uses threatening language and wants to extort things from you, is cyberbullying you. A person who cyberbullies you also can be what we call a troll. A troll, not somebody really that you've invited to life, but they have everything negative to say about you. I guess social media is very public. So it could be that after this radio interview, on your comment pages, you find someone who's constantly, on a daily basis, or even a number of times, has got something negative to say about what you're saying. They are trolling you. Yeah, that means that they are a guest from hell, excuse my language, and their focus is just to discredit everything that you're saying.
Hey.
So when someone is constantly discrediting, bringing negativity to what you're saying, and you can see that this person is not intending to teach me anything, that is a troll, and that is cyber bullying you. Yeah, they're cyber bullying you. And also shaming on social media. Someone can shame you. You told them something in confidence, or you sent them whatever picture you sent them in confidence. I'm not talking about nudes. Guys, we shouldn't be sending nudes. Just that as a principle is wrong. But in the event that you fell into that trap, for whatever reason, if someone then uses that against you and publishes those things about you, that is bullying. It is wrong, because you were doing it in a safe space and you thought you were sharing with a friend, especially because you trusted that person. Again, I'm not promoting sharing nudes and stuff, but it is a common one. Yeah, it's a common one that people use to shame other people. So to be on the safe side, don't overshare.
Sure.
Don't overshare. Don't show off anything. Look at mine. I want to see yours. Let's not look at each other. That's
yeah.
My face is enough.
Yeah.
So that can be used to shame you or to troll you or to bully you. Supporting a friend who's cyber bullied is being there with them. Don't use cyber and online to contact them. Go and be with them physically.
Hey.
Because what they need is human contact, human touch, and support them. Believe what they're telling you. Believe. You will at a later stage, when all has died down, you can revisit and say how, okay, let's look at what role you played. Marnawe, why did you do this? You don't do that immediately, Maufiga. No. When someone is going through that, you just support them. We learn this from the book of Job. When those friends initially, when they arrived, the Bible says they were quiet for how many days? for an entire week. And just their presence around Job really comforted until they opened their mouth. Then they started blaming Job and say, these things can't just be happening to you. You've done something wrong. So it is kind of a similar way that you support anybody who's going through anything, especially when they're being shamed, when they're being gossiped about, when they're being trolled. Just be there, show them support. At a later stage, you can then say, let's look at this now. Can you see the error of your ways if they were in the wrong? Yes, we don't do it immediately. Hey, when are now we? But when all my bonukuti buganjan lent. Oh, you know, no, that's not our job. We don't accuse the brethren. We must be there first to support. When someone is recovered and strong enough, then we can raise the issues with us.
What a powerful conversation, sister. Can we close with a word of prayer?
Yes, but are you praying this time?
I don't mind.
Please do.
Ngicela sikhuleke. Unkulunkulu namandla siyabonga. Inkulumo enhle esithemba ukuthi ifikile kubalaleli. Yahlala phefumula keke inkulunkulu wethu yenze isebenze size nabanye ukuze bengayitholi bese simeni isifana nalesi. Bagcine inkulunkulu besebenzise namafoni wabo ngendlela kuyiyona. Wena uNkulunkulu selithemba igama lakho, ngeke uze usilahle. Uma sesiphuma endleleni sicela ukuthi usibuyise. Igama lakho lihle namandla futhi siyalethemba imihla ngemihla kuze kuphade. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sisi, thank you so much. Hey, ukhulume kahle.
Thank you. Bye, ngiyabona.
Amen. Sisi. Right. You too, sisi. Right, to our listeners at home, that was Sister Ntiki Nkomo. What a beautiful conversation with your sister.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.